56 games, each two more than the regular schedule calls for. The Bums from Brooklyn, the Giants from New York have come down to the wire to where it is all or nothing. What happened before, even the Giants' closing rush from 13 and a half out, will be forgotten when the final decision is rendered at the Polo Grounds this afternoon. 20 years from now, the fans will be talking about this afternoon's hero as yet unknown, but the man and the hour are about to meet. If there is a goat, his name will echo down the corridor of time, coupled with Fred Perkle, a bonehead fame, and Freddie Snodgrass, whose muffed fly ball cost the Giants the World Championship of 1912. The tension has been building until the strain has become terrific. Neither Dresden nor DeRocher can afford to gamble. The leadoff batter will be Pee Wee Reese for Carl Perrault for the Brooklyn Dodgers in the top half of the first inning. Magley, the barber, ready to lather the Dodgers. Against him, it'll be Newcomb. We'll pause for station identification. This is the second largest network in the world, the Liberty Broadcasting System. In the dark, gloomy, somber skies at the Polo Grounds in New York, it's the greatest show on earth. The Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants, final sudden death showdown payoff game, the playoff payoff. Here's Carl Perrault against Sal Magley, first half of the first inning in a game I'm sure that we will all long remember. Pee Wee Reese on deck, Duke Snider down in the hole. Cold-blooded Sal, the outlaw from Drummondville. Veteran of Veracruz, starts from the windup, first pitch of a historic game, breaks it down, sidearmer, raked outside for ball one. One ball and no strikes. This game adds another dramatic page to the history of the New York Giants, whose history already covers 70 years of one of the most dramatic stories in sports. Great Giant names have been on this field before us. None in quite so difficult a spot as Sal Magley this afternoon. Magley in the windup. Giant right-hander brings that black arm low and outside for ball two. Two balls, no strikes, first inning. Sal Magley pitching. Carl Perrault on the text jam, 2-0. Magley working, first inning. Dodgers famed Sim Foley Band is here, but has competition this afternoon from a Giant band. Three buglers and one bass drummer. Giant band calls itself the Fish Hole Mob from Mulberry Street. Everybody is here. Jam-packed, enthusiastic crowd. Magley delivers. He's in there with a strike across the belt. Whipping fastball, crackling down there, pops in the middle of Westwestern. For a low with a count of 2-1. Little Reese, the Dodgers' fleet-footed field captain, is on deck. Duke Snider down in the hole. First half of the first inning, the maiden frame. Liberty's final game of the year. Carl Perrault waits. Close dance, steps forward, strides, takes strike two call on the outside corner. As Magley, the air-splitting precision expert, he's one across the outside corner, a curve that didn't break too well, but held it anyway. And it's 2-2. Two balls, two strikes, first inning. Dodgers and New York Giants. Need we say more? Out on the mound, Magley, abrasive, blue, black-bearded right-hander, pitches the 2-2 ball, sidearm, swung on, next foul, back toward the Giants dugout, coming up on top, racing for it is Westrum, but is unable to play it. It's back into the Giants dugout. Sal Magley was the logical choice today for the big one of the big ones. Magley, an old head at 34 years, has been around for 13 years in baseball. He has pitched under the most difficult possible circumstances. Banned from baseball for jumping to the Mexican League. Sal Magley worked in Drummondville. He worked in heat, in drizzle, in driving rain, in broiling sun. He worked in Tampico, riding buses, riding mules, riding everything. He is one of the toughest pitchers in the game, certainly one of the most taciturn. Kicks, fires, 2-2 ball, 6-3 ball. Drama begins late on the line. These two managers must have whirling, tumultuous thoughts going through their mind. I can imagine. I can just imagine. You put your whole life in a game, they must be thinking, and then they give you one afternoon to make good. Sudden death, playoff showdown. It's Reese now. Perrault took a strike three call. The 2-2 pitch foul. Magley rocks, throws overarm, drives him back from the plate as Reese twists away. One ball and no strikes with one out. Magley, 141 strikeouts. The Giants' shining 23 game winner. Well rested against the Don Newcomb, who has pitched 14 and two-thirds innings in 5 days. Can't be so well rested. Magley throws down. Reese fouls it off home plate. One ball, one strike, one out. Up. Pee Wee Reese, number one, the Brooklyn Dodgers field captain. Newcomb and Magley have each hurled 3 shutouts this year. This is the second start between the two of them in which a decision has been rendered. Magley beat Newcomb in the only other start they've made against each other. The ancient cricket crease below the bluff on the black paper-littered shores of the Harlem River. Holograms, New York. Maglebin's way over as though looking through a keyhole. Saxon's a wind-up. Reese, low over the plate, backs away, ducking under a pitch off the top of his cap, and it's counted 2-1. Reese at bat. Duke Snyder on deck, Jackie Robinson down in the hole. Second time these two have met as starters, Magley and Newcomb. August the 16th at the Polo Ground. Magley beat Newcomb 2-1. Crowd tight as a fiddle string. Playoff in Harlem. As the Giants, favorites of Harlem, meet the boys from the land across the East River, the Brooklyn Dodgers. Up ahead, grimy skies. Across through the fog beyond the Harlem River, the great gray spires of Yankee Stadium, which will be alive tomorrow with the World Series as one of these two will play. We don't know which now, but the team is about to meet the hour as Reese takes ball three outside, 3-1. Three balls and one strike. Drama riding with every pitch. This is the end of it. That's before the game about whether he can pitch tonight or today. Preacher Rowe said, if I do, I'll have to go right-handed. Reese drives, takes low on a Magley slide up the ball four, and Pee-wee is on. Question is whether Magley is shot. Both pitchers did appear to be sharp in their warm-up. Magley to our right in front of the Giants dugout along the first baseline, and below us, Big Don Newcomb, who was warming up in front of the Brooklyn Dodgers dugout. Final game in the turbulent, ebbing National League race. The Giants have played on the same field for more than 60 years, longer than any other team in baseball. I've written many a page in history, and another one is being written today. So listen closely, and you can tell your grandchildren. You heard the most dramatic of them all. Magley pitches. Snyder takes fire. One ball and no strikes. The distance is for you here today, 257 feet to right field. 279 down the left field line. 483 feet to the Eddie Grant Memorial Shaft in center. Underneath, Old Glory, which is unfurled from the center field masthead. The right field wall, 10.5 feet high. The left field wall, nearly 17 feet tall, with a capacity here of 55,000. Reese down at first. Snyder the batter. Magley facing, fields one off, dealing high ball two. Two balls, no strikes. Levine's shutout yesterday against the Giants was the seventh shutout against this team this year. They're tough to shut out. Staley got two, Sane one, Roberts one. Paulette won. Newcomb has won against the Giants, one of the seven, and Levine's yesterday, obviously. From Bernard Baruch and Tom Dewey to Brooklyn, Harry the Horse and Spanish John Phillips, you have to talk baseball in New York today. From Flatbush Avenue to Sheepshead Bay, from the Savoy Ballroom to the Harlem YMCA, from Jacob's Beach to Hamburger Heaven, this series has got the joint jumping. 8 million New Yorkers are really moving today. Left-hand batter, Snyder, 275 hitter. The outfield's almost straight away, bending over to get the sign, peeking in. Sal Magley, Westrum down in catching position. Here is Snyder ready to come up with a swing, and he takes underneath the knee for ball three. Three balls, no strikes. Snyder at bat. Magley having trouble with his control, which seems to be on the blink in the top half of the first inning. Magley, who never shaves before a game, lets his beard grow, with normally one of the heaviest beards in the game. The barber shaving the Brooklyn Dodgers this afternoon, but shaving the corners slightly too close. He walked Reese, walked Snyder. He has 3-0 against Snyder. On deck, Jack Robinson, a name to conjure fear in Giant hearts at this point. And then Andy Pasco. Here's a 3-0 ball. The giveaway pitch is flat to ball four. Reese at second. Snyder at first. And the hitter will be the ball of Leo DeRocher. Jack Robinson hitting 337. Andy Pasco on deck. Gil Hodges down in the hole. Must have been a million people asking me how I thought today's game would turn out. I always answer them like the news commentators, very inconclusively. I'd always say, well, it's certain that one thing will happen if anything else does, and that is that there's going to be action in the Polo Grounds this afternoon. Larry Jackson has begun to limber up in the Giants bullpen. All the stops are out. The pitch to Robinson. Swung on, driven down for a big hit in the hole. Here's Stevie Reese around third on his way to the score. The throw to second hand. Snyder is there. Run in. Dodgers lead 1-0. Comes in before this frantic, frenzied crowd as the New York Giants hopes take a front back turn. Jackie Robinson got into the first pitch and hit a blue darter hole in the shortstop between Garth and Bobby Thompson. Reese raced in from second to score. The batter holds up at second. One out. Andy Pascoe, the batter. That was Jackie's 185th hit. He has been tremendous in the last few days. Sal Magley being talked to by catcher Westrum. By his manager, Leo DeRosa, who now comes out to the mound. They'll waste no time at all. Larry Jensen, the Oregonian, the big family man, warming up in the bullpen. New York Giants trail by a score of 1-0. First half of the first inning. Reese walks, Snyder walks, Robinson drove home the run. With a sharp single, outered in the hole between Dark and Thompson to the left. Sal Magley looks in. The batter, Andy Papko, wide strider. Two home runs in 2 days. Steps forward, cuts a foul. Back. And up into the upper deck, out of play. Misty, murky skies overhead. The New York Giants, Brooklyn Dodgers in the final of the final. The last one there can be. The lights went on yesterday during the game. Will have to be turned on again today in the process of it. In any one baseball game, the odds are almost even, but the bookmakers went along with Magley today by slight odds. He's trailing 1-0 first inning. Sal Magley checking Reese down at second base. Or Snyder throws. Pascoe hits a weak grounder in fair territory down the third baseline. Step on third by Thompson. A throw associate. Not in time. There's a force out at third base as Bobby Thompson picked up a ball that went perilously close to foul territory, bouncing along the third baseline. He stepped on third almost simultaneously with the arrival of Snyder, but in time for the out. Threw across the first where Pascoe was by just a hand straight on the fielder's choice. With two away and two on, Robinson second, Pascoe on the jumping off place. It's big Gil Hodges, whose 40 home runs paces the Brooklyn attack in that department. The magic number for either team, now one. For the loser, 1952. And great was the rejoicing in Flatbush last night as the little fella from Woonsocket, Rhode Island, Clem Levine, threw a brilliant shutout into the Brooklyn, under the New York Giants. Hodges, 270 hitter. Robinson down at second, on at first base. Andy Pascoe on the fielder's choice. Two out. Magley trails 1-0 as the barber shaves a little too close. His control went awry in the first inning. Throws. Misses the outside corner with a sweeping out drop. Magley's best pitch is that fearsome curve with a right angle break on it as it comes in long about ladder high and takes a sudden dip downward that is extremely difficult to perceive. The Giants have 178 home runs. The Dodgers, 184 home runs. Little to choose in that department. Here's Magley checking the feared Jackie Robinson at second. Sal delivers, and the cold-blooded right-hander is over there for a call strike. Sal, with nerves of steel, the obvious choice for this ball game because he's been in many pressure ball games, has always been equal to the occasion. So this most stirring of all the pennant races goes to the very end today when these two teams, all even on the last day of the regular season, all even after two playoff games, meet now in the final deciding game here today with both aces carrying the mail. It's Magley checking Robinson on at first. The runner is Pascoe. Not his feet, but we pop up along the third base line. Here's Bobby Thompson swinging fast. He's there. He's got it. Well, the Brooklyn Dodgers in a profitable first inning, and even 1-1 is a highly profitable, nay, a rich first inning against Magley. One run, one hit, no errors, and two men left marooned on base spinning their wheels against the barber. Out on the mound goes that huge, elephantine right-handed Don Newcomb to pick up the ball and face Eddie Stanky, who scored at the end of one half inning of play. The visiting Dodgers from the land across the East River won the New York Giants nothing. The hitting list for the New York Giants, Eddie Stanky at second base. Alvin Dark is at shortstop. Don Mueller in right field. Monty Irvin in left field. Lonnie Lockman, 279, enters at first base. Bob Thompson, the Giants hero of the last few days, batting 290 and playing third and hitting sixth. Willie Mays in the big field. Wes Westrum down there behind the plate. And on the hill, the barber, black-bearded Sal Magley. Magley from Niagara Falls, New York. 23 wins and 6 defeats for Magley, so your Giant hitting list of 9, Stanky, Dark, Mueller, Irvin, Lockman, Thompson, Mays, Westrum, and Magley. The umpire at home plate, Lou Jorda, ready to call play ball for play in the last half of the first inning. Now Don Newcomb is out on the mound. Eddie Stanky is up against him for the New York Giants. Stanky, last half, a first inning, Sankey, the flaming spirit, vibrantly alive, fierce competitor. It has been many times said that Eddie Sankey has glorified the base on ball. With him, the walk is a major weapon. It's an attack for opposing pitchers. This little fella, Eddie Sankey, miniature second baseman, is baseball's most aggravating player. There is a study, the David and the Goliath of it, Newcomb and Sankey. Newcomb pumps, pitches, Sankey watches, 4-1 is outside. One ball and no strike. Another dramatic page in Polo Grounds history. As players here will go down alongside John McGraw and Christy Mathewson and Mike Dunn and Buck Herzog and Amos Rusi and Doyle and Frisch and them all. The pitch. Sankey watches. Strike one call across the outside corner. One ball, one strike. Last half of the first inning. Ed Sankey at bat. Great base on balls getter. Holds the National League record in that department. A tough little man to get out. The man whom Branch Rickey said about. He can't run, he can't hit, he can't field, but I wouldn't trade him for Hornsby in his prime. Sankey waits. The Newcomb delivery. Swung on, beaten foul. Down past DeRosa along the third base coaching line. That run, surrendered by Magley in the top half of the first inning, could be a most pivotal, a most crucial run, looming ever larger as we go down mounting the scoreboards. The goose eggs on the scoreboard today. He walked Reese, then he walked Snyder, and with men on first and second after Perillo had struck out, Jackie Robbins did a first pitch single in the hole and drove home the run, by which the Dodgers lead Leo DeRocher's hated New York Giants through 1-0 in this battle of the arch rivals, last battle of the year. Here is the 1-2 pitch to Sankey. Ill lad, he takes below the knees on a Newcomb dropper for ball two. He threw that tremendous overarm dropping curve, sinking down too low on Sankey. Two balls, two strikes. On deck, Alvin Dark of the New York Giants. Here's Don Newcomb into the windup now. He kicks. The Giant right-hander fires. Sankey swings and curves it foul over near the Brooklyn Dodger dugout. The string has run out of the National League. Last game, the last one there can be this year, unless for some reason this one is postponed this afternoon. Skies overhead are leaden, heavy with rain, but I think they'll go on and play this one. At least we would wait for hours and hours and hours and hours, indeed up into the evening tonight, before postponing it. President Ford Frick of the National League, soon to become the Commissioner of Baseball, wants to play it if at all possible. He wants that World Series to start tomorrow. Newcomb, the 2-2 ball to Sankey. Eddie back, high ball three. Three balls and two strikes, a payoff count on Sankey. Now Newcomb's got to plank the big one down and in there to the little fellow. Pocket-sized Eddie Sankey, one of the smallest players in big league baseball. A fighter in the Phil Rizzuto tradition. Fiery, volatile second baseman waiting, number 22, has good eyes, Sankey. Not too fast. Infield, halfway out, outfield, shortened to the left. The pitch to Sankey, swings, beats one foul down past DeRocher. Low like old Luke Appling, stands up there, fouls him off, waiting for the one he wants. And you remember who was in right field for the Giants in 1937 when they took their last pennant? Sure you can. It was that grand guy, Mel Ott. And now, Mel's daughter is about to be married. You feel kind of old, man. For the third time in 4 days, the Brooklyn club wriggled back off the brink of the precipice into a National League tie yesterday. One more push and over they've gone. Newcomb kicks the payoff pitch. Swung on. There's a little try fly out toward right with left field. That goes in very fast. Stop. Pulls it down to the out of Sankey. Laid a blooper. Out in short left field. Tapco raced in to get it, and most of the crowd had probably convinced themselves that Eddie Sankey, having worked Newcomb to a 3-2 count, was to be given a pass that time. But Newcomb bearing down, putting everything that he has on it this afternoon, pitching with utmost caution, planked one right down the wheelhouse, and Sankey had to hit it or go out of there on strike. Here is Al Dark of the National League New York Giants. Right-hand hitter Dark, the pitch to him. Al swings, keeps a sky-high fly along the third baseline. Coming in for it is Billy Cox, near the mound. He's got it, putting it in the well for the out of there or two away. The Giants two up and two down to Newcomb. Now the batter, Don Mueller. Teammates call him Mandrake. That's a tribute to the almost magical way that Don places his hit. He's only 23 and at the doorway to a long and brilliant career. Mueller, whose home run hitting here at the Polo Grounds against Newcomb, another of the Brooklyn Dodger pitchers, has been a sore point for them. On deck, Monty Irvin. Newcomb rocks the Giant right-hander vigorously, throws, strikes called on the outside corner. Bill Terry, the last Giant manager to bring in a winner, was on hand yesterday and is again today. The roster of celebrities here today reads like a who's who. This ball game being brought to you throughout the world on Liberty and the Armed Forces Radio Service. Newcomb's big pitch, small ball, swung on as he pulled him, beaten down to the first base coach, Freddie Fitzsimmons, who nurses the Giant pitchers. Leo DeRocher wig-wagging at third. Dreary, heavy, somber skies overhead. A few birds circling the field. Probably the Brooklyn Wombat, which makes it sound like a baseball bat. Newcomb working on Mueller. Big time, kicks, fires, locks it outside for ball one. One ball, two strikes. Newcomb against Magley. Final game of the year. The playoff, payoff, the showdown, the end, and what more could you want? A tasty menu for a Wednesday afternoon on Liberty, huh? The wind is blowing here this afternoon toward right. Will be a factor for left-hand hitters like this Mueller, who takes ball two outside, 2-2. The deuces are up, two balls, two strikes, two out, and Don Mueller, the hitter, up with a 2.75 hitting average. He's playing right for the New York Giants. Number 22, Mueller. The deuce is really up then. Stewart at second base, Collin first, gets third. Big Don Newcomb rocks, kicks, fires. There's a swing and a drive. Out of left field, Andy Capito goes back first. And that's halted into the outward side of the side on a blistering line drive to left by Mueller. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base. And the guaranteeing pressure in the National League has but 8 innings left to go at the Polo Ground. The Brooklyn Dodgers won. The New York Giants, nothing. Well, about 25,000 rooters are over here from beautiful, scenic Brooklyn. Lovely garden spot. Brighton Beach, Sheepshead Bay, Prospect Park, Bedford Avenue, flowers, trees, boys. Well, the Brooklyn Dodgers, the last one-third of the hitting list of nine, solidly confronting Sal Magley here with the chips on the line as we open the first half of the second inning. Let's see how the outer defense will play. Bill Cox, a good glove man, choke hitting right-handed, stands feet close together in toward the plate. Third baseman in just off the line. Dark stride toward third, off the grass, stanky near second, deep back in the back of the first baseman, nearly on the line. The pitch, Bill Cox backs away from strike, which catches that inside corner to a right-hander. One ball, no strike. Sal Magley, the barber shaving. He has lathered the Dodgers 5 times this season, and they've only beaten him once. He throws down. Cox backs away from a button high pitch. One ball, one strike. You know, of all the dates marked in the Polo Grounds calendar, July the 16th, 1902, almost a half century ago, was the most famous up to the day. That was the day that John McGraw was engaged to manage the Giants. His spirit's here today. Great name. Cox swings. It's a one-hopper right back to Magley, who throws to first. He got him for the out. 1-3. And Magley, after a rocky beginning in which the barber showed the first signs of nervousness that I have ever seen him show, was just a little bit awry on his control. He missed the corners on Reese, put him on, and that was what cost him. Or perhaps it was the walk to Snyder which cost him, because that was the one which advanced Reese in scoring territory, from where Jackie Robinson drove him home with a whistling single to left. Left-hand hitter Rube Walker, the South Carolinian, watches, takes a call strike. As per usual, the lines of the coaching boxes are already completely erased. DeRocher, wasting no time getting fate and superstition on his side, did it early. Magley throws, curveball, beaten back foul. Well, Magley, a name to bring dread to Brooklyn hearts. Determined, cold, unemotional opponent. Maybe even showing the slightest signs of the wear and tear in the first half of the first inning when he walked Reese, walked Snyder, and Robinson hitting for a single. But it's early in the ball game. There's a long way to go. Here in the Polo Grounds, a heavy shroud of mist. Overhead, damp gray skies. The pitch taken outside. Somber October afternoon. One ball, two strikes, one out. Brooklyn won, the New York Giants nothing. 55,000 close-packed bodies in the Polo Grounds, which is taut with suspense, as two tired and nearly depleted ball teams come down to the wire. The pitch by Magley. Swing on a miss for strike three. That was a low-breaking slider. That little curveball shown as thrown with a sharp wrist twist. He broke it down, slid it in around the knees to left-hand hitting Walker on a home run and two other hits there yesterday. That's cool, and as Don Newcomb, that good hitting Brooklyn pitcher, comes on. record this year, 20 wins and 9 defeats. Two of the best managers in baseball, two great strategists, Leo DeRocher and Charlie Dressen, opposing each other in a battle to the finish, the final in the National League.
Magley arms behind his head, the right-handed throws. Newcomb lifts a high pop up to the left side, slicing it off as he hit late on a fastball, hustles there, and makes a basket catch of the ball to retire the side. At the end of 1.5, here at the jam-packed Polo Grounds in New York, in baseball's history-making third playoff, and the only third playoff game in history, the Brooklyn Dodgers won, the New York Giants 0.
Down into the windup goes Don Newcomb, the big right-hander, unbends, third and swing, hits one down deep the hole, Reese goes over, fields the ball, throws the first, and in time with his throw for the out. Pee-wee Fielding has been spectacular in this series. He, like Sal Magley, is a great player under fire. Reese bent over to his right into what would have been, for a left fleet shortstop, the hole in the left side of the infield. But he plugged the dike, stuck his gloved hand in there, in the lurch, grabbed it, threw the first to the out, and here is Whitey Lockman. Lockman. Newcomb pitches, Whitey swings, hits one down to the right side, pocket tries to back run, but this is in the right field on the ground for a Giants base hit. And Lockman, the potential tying run, is at first base. Hunt is the potential going-ahead run, Bobby Hurst. With reference, of course, to the famous London to Edinburgh Express. Stylish, polished ball player, Bobby Hunt. Fluffy Zipper. Lockman down to first. We pass the Yankee Stadium on the way over here. We can see that flags and pennants are all decked out in preparation for the World Series. Thompson watches wide, just looking over one and ignoring the pitch, which was okay at the height in the strike zone, but a shade wide. Bob Thompson batting, Willie Mays on that west room down in the hole. Lockman down at first. Standing close to the bag as Hodges goes in for a word with his pitcher. 31 home runs and 96 runs batted in, the record this year. Third time in 4 days, Brooklyn trying to save off the final summons in the National League. Also, the Giants, and they're in tough shape now. Trail 1-0. Newcomb lets it go. That's the sweep. That's the left field line. It is in there for base hit. Johnson turns second, holds it second. Bobby Thompson racing for second. Two runners are going to be on second. Here it is. Reese is taking Thompson back toward first. He is tagged out by Gil Hodges as the New York Giants to our Brooklyn Dave Herbert. The Daffiness boys in years gone by. Whitey Lockman was held up at second base by the third base coach, Leo DeRocher, but Thompson head down, charging at full steam like old Babe Herman used to do, rounded first, near second, before he saw that Whitey Lockman was still on the bag, and of course two runners can't occupy the same second one time. Lockman was already entitled to it. Thompson turned around, headed full tilt back for first, couldn't make it, as Reese taking the relay from Papko, threw him out behind it, who tagged. Two out, one on, Lockman is second in scoring territory, and battling up there is Willie Mays, the New York Giant right-hander. Up until yesterday, the Giants hadn't lost a game since September the 20th. Had won 8 in a row, 38 out of 45, 7 of the last 8. The Dodgers beat it 10-0. Lafayette shut him out. Newcomb throws, and Willie Mays takes strike it all. One ball, one strike, two out. Mays, 275 hitter. Cox is at third for the Dodgers. Reese at shortstop. Jackie Robinson at second base. Gil Hodges at first base. Robbie deep back of the bag. Step off the grass. Pee-wee hands on knees, ready, waiting. Halfway up at shortstop. Cox close to the line with Erskine beginning to warm for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Outfield. Stand off deep to the left. Arms over his head. Don Newcomb. Big Brooklyn right hander throws down. Sizzling fat ball. Come along the lefty line. The fat ball going back toward the wall. Kobe down. He got it. Well, the New York Giants pulling a skull in the second inning. A real boneyard play. Would have had runners at first and second. With one man out, Willie Mays and Westbrook due up. But as a result of Bobby Thompson's headlong charge of the second base with Whitey Lockman already occupying the bag, memories are brought to mind of Babe Herman, who still grows green in the limbo of Brooklyn. No run, two hits, no errors, and one man left on base. Going now into the first half of the third inning at the Polo Grounds in New York. The Brooklyn Dodgers won the New York Giants nothing. At the Polo Grounds, it's a Brooklyn hitting list of Perillo, Reed, Snyder, Robinson, Pasco, Hodges, Cox, Rube Walker, and Don Newcomb. The Giants have started off darkly indeed. You know, it's interesting that these two teams, no matter how tired, how crippled, how ailing their pitching staff are, well, they just happen to have two 20-game winning aces ready for this final game. DeRocha and Dressen, that Newcomb and Magley are ready. Well, out into the field go the Giants, looking as worried as a Bostonian going west of Worcester. The lights come on. We told you they would early this afternoon. That's three innings, actually, earlier than they were illuminated yesterday afternoon. Magley wipes his brow. The barber, the Niagara Falls Nugget, Sal Magley, pitching to Carl Frollo, who led him the first inning with a strikeout, reaches for one and looks at ball one, which twirls down low and outside. With Carl Frollo batting for the Brooklyn Dodgers, Magley peels it off. Frollo hits a weak bounder right back to the hill. Magley throws. He got it for the out. Magley the Lockman, 1-3 on Frollo, who has twice meekly submitted to Sal Magley. And now it'll be Pee Wee Reese, who wheedled a walk off Magley as he came up the first time and raced home from second to score on Jackie Robinson's solid bingle in the hole on the left side. Lou Jordan calling balls and strikes. Jock O'Connell at first. Bill Stewart's down at second base. And Larry Getz is at third. And now for the stalwart line, for the stalwart blue line from Brooklyn, Pee Wee Reese. The shining heroes of Harlem, the New York Giants on the field. Sal Magley winds, throws, and it's missing outside. Ball one, one out. Brooklyn won, the New York Giants nothing. Playoff, payoff. The final. The end of the end. The last game of the year between these two as Reese watches ball two swirled outside. Magley does definitely not appear as sharp here this afternoon as he has been in other games we've seen him, particularly the one last Saturday when he four-hit at the Boston Braves in a masterful shutout. If anything, Newcomb has looked the sharper. Magley throws, strike call on the outside corner. Even so, Newcomb yielded two base hits to the New York Giants in the second inning, which only wretched Giant base running kept from being a real threat to the big Brooklyn right-hander. The ancient cricket crease below the bluff. There's one swung on, hit up into the air out toward right field in foul territory. Whitey Lockman's over near the grandstand. He's got it. Lockman went over to pull it down, drifting under one that was curved foul. Kind of a powder puff hit up along the first baseline. Lockman dashed back to pull it down. So now Magley, after a rocky beginning, has retired seven batters in order. Duke Snyder is the hitter for the Brooklyn Dodgers. Snyder, S-N-I-D-E-R. Duke, National League pennant on the line. The World Series on the line. Snyder swings, cutting hard. Wailing in an outside pitch on Duke Lee that he went fishing. Billowing breakers of the Harlem River. Out beyond the center field fence, the Snyder watches outside. One and one. Full ground. Bounded behind us by Coogan's Bluff in the front by the Harlem River. On the right by a huge parking lot. On the left by some apartment buildings. Magley bends over. Peeking in for the sign. Kicks, throws, Snyder cuts. Strike two. One ball, two strikes. And you hear him roaring behind, don't you? This is a ball game to end them. A chipper handled, green sided nickel nipper today. A real scene breaker. Dressen yesterday claimed that Sheldon Jones was throwing a spitter. Pitches high, 2-2 on Snyder with two away. The base is empty as a schoolroom in July. The outfield shaded to the left. That was a new wrinkle about that spitball. They usually, the Giants and the Dodgers are arguing over beanballs rather than spitballs. Magley getting the sign. Westham in crapshoot position, giving it to him. Magley speaking. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. As Sal Magley, finding the touch, has now gotten eight batters in a row. Since Jackie Robinson delivered the lone single off Sal Magley here this afternoon, but a most important and pivotal blow it was. A solid clutch hit. smacked into the hole between Dock and Thompson at shortstop to send Reese racing home with a glorious Brooklyn score in the first inning. Glorious, that is, for Dodger rooters. It has cast a pall of despondency over Giant rooters. We'll go into the last of the third with the Giants bringing up Lester Magley and Stanky in a moment. Score, 1-0 Dodgers. Wes Westrum will lead it off for the Giants, and the smiling senior from Niagara Falls, Salvatore Magley, will follow. Eddie Stanky down in the hole. Stanky. Wes Westrum with a .247 hitting average is the batter for the New York Giants as we come on into this inning. Westrum wearing number 9, kicks around, getting a firm toehold in the batter's box, down on his haunches. Now Rube Walker, big Newcomb out on the mound for the Brooklyn Dodgers, scuffs around. And now it's play. Last half of the third inning, Wes Westrum, who broke the all-time National League fielding record for catchers last year with a .999 average, is the batter. A good sticker, good power hitter, not consistent though. Swings, misses, hard play on it. Nothing in one. Newcomb pumping him home for the Brooklyn Dodgers, trying to ride that one-run lead home. He got it in the first inning as Jackie Robinson, who's been the big builder for the Dodgers for the past few days, against Leo DeRocher, his mortal enemy, singled it home. Western swings, cracks a hard curving liner into the upper deck. Powell. Westrum, .247 hitter, Sal Magley on deck. This fellow Westrum, fine defensive catcher, made in 680 chances last year, one low throw, just one error, a .999 record for the highest average ever recorded, fielding-wise, in the National League. Very good catcher, going out well on pop flies, gets out well for bunts, hits a long ball occasionally. The Giants, in their previous second inning, had a golden moment. Lockman singled, Thompson followed with a slashing single to left. But then, shades of Babe Herman raced into second base with Lockman already on the bag. The pitch by Newcomb arched in high inside, high. In that Dodger game so many years ago, it was Babe Herman, Dazzy Vance, and Chick Buster on third base all at one and the same time. Herman and Vance slid into third base, and the Babe passed Chick Buster on the way. Here's the pitch, taken high inside by the right-hand hitter, Wes Westrum, very high and inside. Well, we told you when this ball game started that heroes would be made and goats would be born to be talked about down through the years here at the Polo Grounds this afternoon, and we may have had a famous repetition of the Fred Merkle incident here today. Don Newcomb throws and misses inside, 3-2, payoff count on Western leading off the third inning. Yes, so you'll remember, back in... I think it was 1912 when Freddie Merkle of Bonehead fame and Fred Snodgrass infield must fly across the Giants the World Championship. Let's take all four outside as well. And it might be this afternoon that Bobby Thompson play, or else whoever was responsible for it, would be joined alongside that. Sal Magley will now be the batter. See, Westrum would have been up in the second inning had there not been the skull on the part of the Giants as far as base running is concerned. They would have had two on and one out with an opportunity for both Mays and Westrum. You see now, Westrum has walked. Magley, the batter, smiling Salvador. The infield charges in as he is expected to bunt, and he doesn't. It is strike one call down the middle of it. Sal Magley batting for the New York Giants. The Giants have had the best National League pitching, and a lot of it can be traced right home to Sal Magley. He was the league's winningest last year, that is in 50, with 18-4. Second only to Jim Hearn in earned run average with .271. Won 11 games straight at the close of last season. Infield in again. The pitch to Magley is trying to bite. It's high, though. 1-1. One ball and one strike. To show you what kind of a pitcher Sal Magley is under fire, how good a pitcher he is, last year he worked at one time 45 scoreless innings, missing Carl Hubbell's record by 1 1/3 innings. He has a curve that Kiner and Musial even think is the sharpest in the National League. Here's Cox almost halfway in. Hodges rushes in. Magley bumps. Foul. One ball and two strikes. Giant hopes looking right at the moment. Dark is the inside of an inkwell. They trail 1-0. It's early in the ball game.
Niagara Falls Nugget, Sal Magley, with 13 savvy years of campaigning on his shoulders, riding the National League pennant for the Giants today. It's on the broad back of Don Newcomb for the Brooklyn Dodgers, ace against ace. So for all these crippled, ailing pitching staff, as I remarked, somehow Dressen and DeRocher were able to muster 220 game winners for this game today. Newcomb throws to first, not in time. Westrum gets back over there. It's all on the line. Either team has the magic number one today. First around, throws to second. It is in time for a fourth out at second. And Westrum was barreling in there. Upset Pee Wee Reese. Up in even. Reese really went high in the air and somersaulted, but held on to the ball. A first out at second base as Newcomb made the ball player play. If he had not made it good, if Westrum had been safe at second base on what was a very close call down there, well, there might have been some more heads roll as the result of this ball game. But Newcomb, taking the bit in his teeth, went for the ball player's play, the one with which you live or die, and got his man at second, 1-6. Magley safe at first on a fielder's choice, no sacrifice bunt. The batter is Little Stanky, the brat, number 12, diminutive second baseman of the New York Giants. Outfield jagged, short and right, short and center, deep and left. Outfield, the infield, up in double play depth. The Stanky watches high for ball one. One ball, one strike, the score 1-0 in favor of the Brooklyn Dodgers. On deck after Stanky will come Alvin Dark. Dark, everything riding here. Giant base running cost him a threat. A pitch taken outside. Two balls and no strikes on Stanky, who, as I told you earlier, makes the walk an offensive weapon. It's a major weapon of attack with him. He leads the National League in base on balls. DeRocher trots down to talk to Stanky, who immediately gets out of the batter's box and meets his pilot halfway down the line. Leo the Lip, a great admirer of Stanky, who always wanted him after he left Brooklyn. The first thing that Leo did after he got to the New York Giants was to negotiate a tremendous trade with the Boston Braves, in which the Braves took Walker Cooper, Sid Gordon, Willard Marshall, and in exchange surrendered Eddie Stanky and Alvin Dark. The Braves also in that transaction got Red Webb. Ed Stanky, feet close together, well away from the plate, choke hitting right-hander, the outfield shaded to the left, the infield pole to the left. Reese, halfway up, stride toward third, there's the ball hit fair down the third base line, catches that close to second, one, the score first, by Stanky, 5-4-3, as Billy Cox, as sure-fisted a glove man as ever played third base for a baseball team, made a crackling backhand stop on a hard-hit ground ball just inside fair territory on the third baseline. Pinwheeled, whipped to Robinson covering second for the out there. Jackie's pinwheeled and throw back to first was in time for the out. Cox, one of the most underrated third seconds in the major league. Giants go down in order in the third inning, despite the leadoff walk to Weston. No run, no hit, no errors, nobody left on base. At the end of three, here in the frantic polo ground, as these two teams desperately battle for that tri-corner piece of flannel worth $5,000 to every player, the score is Brooklyn 1, the New York Giants nothing. Here's Sal Magley working on Jack Robinson, who twists away from the ball one after taking a strike, 1-1. All set to go. The pitch is inside for ball two. I said a moment ago that Cooper was in the Dark Stanky deal. He wasn't. The trade was Dark and Stanky for Gordon, Marshall, Buddy Kerr, and Red Webb. Cooper came to the Braves for the Reds in the Connie Ryan transaction. Jack Robinson waits. 1-2 pitch. Ball three outside. 3-1. Jackie Robinson, Dodgers pigeon-toed second baseman. Fleet-footed, dusky flash of lightning, right-hand hitter. Mickey Owens Muff was probably the World Series' greatest skull, if you can call that a skull. That was just a miss. But here today, we've seen one in playoff history. There's one hit back over the head of the pitcher. Over his feeling, Stanky stumbles, throws, off-balance to first in time for the out. Little Stanky almost lost his footing as he stumbled backward after picking up a ground ball off Jackie Robinson's bat, which Stanky had snuffed out on the short hop. He got it to first base to Lachlan, a step and a half in front of the fleet-footed and really jinning Jackie Robinson. 4-3 for the out. Andy Pascoe on deck. Gil Hodges down in the hole. First half of the fourth, 1-0. The Brooklyn Dodgers over the New York Giants. A pitch missing the outside corner. Jackie Robinson's first inning single in the hole, which sent Reese roaring from second in home. Right now is the important blow. The blow which has Magley behind. 1-0. Sal comes down with it. Strike call in the outside corner. 1-1. One ball, one strike, one out. The infield is heavy, almost wet. The outfield has very soft and soggy footing also. A slow diamond. The infield damp. The skin of the infield shows that. It rained during the game yesterday. I'm sure you're familiar with that and we're listening. Field covered with tarpaulin, but it's still damp. And the heavy mist overhead having an effect on the footing. That's a drive foul down the left field line. Foul by 4 inches, not more. Andy Pascoe in a rifle shot, lightning bolt, foul down that left field line. That skim within 4 inches of the line. It was almost on. So the Dodgers, for whom hopes were black with despair yesterday afternoon early, find a silver lining in the cloud. They repulsed the Giants yesterday, 10-0. Today, meeting Magley, the man whose name strikes black fear in Brooklyn hearts, they leading 1-0 in this desperate fighting of the Battle of Coogan's Bluff. The final game, the payoff. The pitch to Magley, Pascoe from Magley, breaking low outside, almost down in the dirt, 2-2. Two balls, two strikes. Now Magley takes his time, glancing into Western, who's down again, shielding his fans from Chuck Dressen. A good sign stealer at third. Jake Kipler is at first. Magley throws. Pascoe swings, and the bat goes flying out of his hand, hurtling down the third baseline, where Bobby Thompson picks it up and throws it back over to a Brooklyn bat boy who will return it. The Brooklyn Dodgers and the New York Giants. In the baseball end-all, the real end-all, DeRocher yesterday gambled as though it were a meaningless exhibition. If it were his idea to save his good pitchers for the series, he may have to wait a year at least because he's got Newcomb today as they shoot for the roll. But that, of course, was not his idea. Not at all. For people second-guessing DeRocher, consider that if he had started Magley yesterday, Sal would have been wasted. The pitch, Pascoe cuts and misses, and strikes out swinging. Two up and two down. A lot of people have said that Leo should have started Magley yesterday. But it would have been a total waste of Leo's first-line pitcher because against Levine yesterday, not even Walter Johnson at his best could have helped the Giants left. They'd have just been wasting Magley against a kid throwing a shutout. Magley or anybody else wouldn't have beaten LeBron yesterday. Now, as it is, he's at least got a fairly well-rested ace, ready for this biggest game of the year. Magley was tight yesterday, said he wasn't ready. Even Dressen said that he would have done the same thing that DeRocher had done. The pitch. There's one cut at and missed for the right-handed hitter. Hodges going around for it. Out on the mound, Sal Magley, who has had 3 days of rest, and that's generally enough for him. Don Newcomb at 5 2/3 innings of pitching on Sunday. The pitch. And on and missed again on a weak swing by Hodges, who tried to ignore the pitch at the last moment, but was too far through on his swing. Catching today for the Dodgers is Rube Walker, who had 3 hits there yesterday and was subbing for Roy Campanella. Campanella pulled a hamstring muscle in his right leg. He's taking a freezing spray rather than injection, but they're not deadening the pain, Roy says. Two out, Hodges at bat. 2 strikes on the big fellow. Magley throws it down. Gil beats a weak roller down to the third baseman. Thompson freezes it. Arches his throw. He's got it coming up. 5-3. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base in the first half of the fourth inning. And Sal Magley settling down now to the brilliance which we are accustomed to seeing in Magley, has retired 11 batters in a row since Jackie Robinson hit his one-run single with one out in the first inning. Magley has been airtight, freezer compartment tight, since he opened in the first inning and allowed Robinson to hit him and Reese to run. We'll go into the last of the fourth now. The Giants will have up the fat part of their batting list, Alvin Dock, Don Mueller, and Whitey Lockman. We'll pause now. 45 seconds. The score is the Brooklyn Dodgers 1, the New York Giants 0. Well, it would be very hard to guess on the play on Bobby Thompson, the second inning skull on the part of the New York Giants, as to who fouled it up, because from where our press box is, you simply could not tell whether Bobby got the sign to go on down to second or went on down to second on his own. But certainly, the fault will either rest with Bobby Thompson or with Freddie Fitzsimmons or Leo DeRocher, one of those three. Dark 304 hitter, Luke up on the hill, Al Walker down behind the plate. Al waits for the pitch, popped out the third on a first pitch, first out of the first inning. He takes a ball one over there. In 1948, Alvin Dark fired the Boston Braves to a pennant. By natural temperament, he is a leader. Former lieutenant in the Marines, Newcomb offers. Dark swings, rifles the drive, slug foul down the third baseline, whistling over the head of Larry Getz, who worked balls and strikes here yesterday. And in again, after tapping mud off his spikes, comes Alvin Dark, one of the greatest all-around athletes in Louisiana State University history. They still talk about his work for Louisiana State University against Fordham. And by the way, Liberty is this afternoon making arrangements to bring you this Saturday night the game between the undefeated Bengals of Louisiana State and the Rice Institute Owls. Newcomb pitches. Alvin Dark swings, puts one high into the air. Jackie Robinson drifts back on the grass, getting under it, waiting. He's got it. Jackie Robinson swallowing a high pop-up from Alvin Dark, who leads off the fourth inning. And Newcomb, aside from a bad second inning, is also settling down. There have been three hits, two off Newcomb, one off Sal Magley. Now comes Don Mueller, Mandrake, a power-hitting left-hander who has the wind in his favor, blowing out a crosswind toward right, from left to right. Third baseman is up close. Reese halfway up. Robinson deep on the right side as Mueller looks at one. Pumped outside by Don Newcomb. Big giant right-hander. Newcomb on the hill. Louisiana State and Rice being set up to broadcast for you on Saturday night. Liberty has six football games a weekend. Remember to stay tuned in to your Liberty stations for LBS, a large bundle of sports. Newcomb throws in too close. Ball two. One out. Mueller batting. Don kicks and fires. Mueller swings. There's a line drive. Hopkins goes high into the air with a leaping catch. Down the first baseline, a sizzling, searing liner that Gil Hodges left his feet for and brought down with a jack-in-the-box catch. He came way high in the air as though he had coils of springs in his feet. Now here's Monty Irvin, leading runs batted inner in the National League. Left to right-hand hitter. The outfield stands far to the left. Infield toward third. Newcomb throws him down, and Irvin looks it over. High and wide for ball one. One ball, no strikes. Pervasive gloom and depression over the Polo Grounds Rivers. Dodgers fans wild with enthusiasm in the desperate fighting at Coogan's Bluff. Newcomb kicks. Big right-hander overarms it. Monty Irvin moves back away from a chin-high pitch. Another dramatic page in Polo Grounds history. Irvin with two out. The base is empty. He's batting. Robinson over near second. Reese halfway between third and second. Giants in the Valley of the Shadow trailing 1-0. Last of the fourth inning. Newcomb throwing down. Irvin takes it upstairs. 2-1. Two balls, one strike. These two teams struggling down through the year, blazing, shining, stumbling, faltering, blazing, shining again, finally coming down here to the last day when only one game matters. When you can forget everything else, this is the only one. We're starting all over. Newcomb pitches, Irvin swings, hopping ball down to Cox, who freezes it, throws in time for the out at first. No run, no hit, no errors, nobody left on. And we are at the end of four quick one-hour innings in the Polo Grounds. Going into the fifth inning here at the PG in New York, site of baseball's first third game of a playoff, the score is the Brooklyn Dodgers 1, the New York Giants nothing. Brooklyn, one run, one hit. No errors, two left on. The New York Giants, no runs, two second-inning singles, backed up by Blockman and Thompson. No errors, and one man left on base. And now out comes the leadoff Brooklyn batter, Billy Cox, who made a fine, fine stop to start a double play on Eddie Stanky with Don Newcomb about to get in trouble in the third inning.
Well, there have been three interesting points in this game so far. Magley's slight nervousness at the start. That's just an assumption on my part, since I have no way of knowing. But he did appear that for the first time since all the times I've ever seen him, he might be just the slightest bit of twitter. He missed the corners on Reese, walked him with one away. Snyder was also walked, and then Robinson singled. That brought home a run. Then in the Giants inning, Bobby Thompson. There's a pitch, bunted along the first base line by Cockrell. Up the ball, Magley picks up the ball, shoots one, throw to first, and hits Cockrell on the leg. And that's the second time that a ball has hit a runner here in 2 days. They're going to call him out at first base. They're going to call it safe at first base on a hit. Hit at first base. Yesterday, when Magley threw to first base, he hit Sheldon Jones threw to first, he hit Hodges in the small of the back. And here now, Magley hits Billy Cox, who beats out a leadoff blood hit. It was Spencer who hit Hodges yesterday, and not Jones. A left-hand hitter at the plate, Rube Walker. Magley tugs at his cap. Shoeless Joe Jackson hit the first homer over the right field roof here. Rube Walker duplicated it yesterday afternoon. There's a swing and a miss. It's a monumental Titanic homer that Walker hit yesterday. Joe Jackson was the first ever to do it. Shoeless Joe, smothering pressure on the New York Giants. We pause for station identification 5 seconds. We'll do it after this next pitch. Magley taking the sign now. New York Giant right-hander looks to his runner at first. Cox throws down, cut on and missed for strike two. Now 5 seconds to play that this is Liberty. Back at baseball, where in the Polo Grounds, in that battle of Coogan's Bluff, on the black, swirling waters of the Harlem River, the New York Giants, facing the roused Brooklyn Dodgers that has come back from the Valley of the Shadow, won yesterday 10-0, leads today by a score of 1-0. The light's shining, but the heavens overhead are brightening up all the time. Al Walker, the batter, Magley offers. Al swings and misses for strike three. For Magley, the barber has now recorded 5 strikeouts in his first 5 innings. The batter will be Newcomb with Cox on first, Alvin Dark and Eddie Stanky in double play depth. Around us, the Flatbush faithful, 25,000 of them, ooing and eyeing at their high tide of devotion and pride. Tide of battle in the National League, which has been for so many weeks, ebbing and then falling. A moment victory in sight. The next moment, disaster at hand. Finally down to the last game where nothing else matters. Magley checks Cox. Bunting at it is Newcomb. All right, it gets away from him, goes for strike one, and holding on at first base as Western is able to retrieve the ball in time is the runner, Billy Cox. Would you call this a cold war? A war of nerves? That's certainly one way of putting it. Out on the mound, inscrutable Sal Magley. His face, an unreadable blank. A man of no nerves. An old outlaw campaigner at Drummondville and at Tampico, brought back from the Mexican leagues by Chandler's amnesty. Magley offers. They charge in for the bunt. It escapes Wes Westrum as Newcomb fouls it off, beats his bat into the ground in disgust. Big Don from Leonia, New Jersey, 6'4", 220-pounder. Mrs. John McGraw on hand. Ford Frick, new commissioner. Warren Giles, the new president of the National League. William Harridge, practically the American League. Joey Lewis, Douglas, and Mrs. MacArthur. Many, many others. Who's who here this afternoon in earnest. Dizzy Dean is here. He'll be heard nationally for the first time next year. The old Cardinal pitchers, you know. Dizzy has reached the metallic age. Gold in his teeth, silver in his hair, lead in his feet. Still around, though. Magley throwing Newcomb. Don takes, left-hand batter, wide, ball one, 1-2, after trying to bunt twice and going to strikes both times. Tommy Holmes here, the manager of the Boston Braves, sitting behind a post, no doubt arranged by Harold Parrott of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Good inning pitcher, Don. Swings, hits a wrap to the right side. Beautiful backhanded block, who throws in time to Dark for a forced out at second base. That was a fine fielding play by one of the game's great natural fielders, Whitey Lockman.
transplanted outfielder who raced to his right on the rim of the infield grass, took a bounding hopper from Don Newcomb, who gets first on a fielder's choice, and then, looking to first base, saw that he could only make a play for fourth to second base and got Cox there. Lockman to Dark, 3-6. Now the Giants have Newcomb on first, two away, and the batter is Carl Ferrillo. The New York Giants lead this ball game by a trailless ball game, 1-0, with two out. Ferrillo batting. That hit off Magley, by the way, broke a skein of 11 straight batters retired. Magley has now retired 13 out of the last 14 men who have faced him. Ferrillo, right-hand hitter. Third time in 4 days, the Dodgers trying to avoid it. Magley throws it down. Cole Hardy Sal's curveball is hit out toward left field. Weak drooping liner in. Passes Irvin, gets there and makes the catch for the out on a good racing catch. He was laid way back for a full hitting right-hander, way back toward the wall at a country mile, put on a full head of steam, and came roaring in to get it. The Dodgers, despite a leadoff base hit by Billy Cox, go down with no runs, one hit, no errors, and they left one man racing his motor down at first base. At the end of 4.5 innings of play here in the Polo Grounds in New York, the Brooklyn Dodgers 1, the New York Giants 0. Folks, you'll get deep down satisfaction with premium quality Falstaff, a true premium quality beer. Only premium quality hops and grains are ever used. Take a sip of Falstaff, taste it, and you'll say, Falstaff's got something. Fans, it's got something for you. A famous flavor for your extra pleasure. Top baseball entertainment for your extra enjoyment. Brewed by the Falstaff Brewing Corporation of St. Louis, Omaha, and New Orleans. Right now, you can be adding plenty to your enjoyment of this game by just taking the wraps off a bottle. Frosty Falstaff. Or, better still, if you don't have any on hand, make it a point. Once the ball game is over, we won't ask you to do it during the game. Get in the jalopy, go down and buy a case of Falstaff, which is premium quality through and through. It's got something. Falstaff, choices, product of the brewer's art. Falstaff, the beer that brings you baseball. Relative to the auctioning of the baseballs of last Saturday and Sunday at Braves Field in Boston, we have now good news for you. We're going to be able to supply an autographed baseball for every person who sends in a check covering his bid, the amount of which is known to all of you. Make the check payable to the Jimmy Fund, care of the Boston Braves, Braves Field, Boston, Massachusetts. So everybody that bid, by sending in a check for the amount of his bid, can get a ball actually used in the game on Saturday. That is, the first 10 people will get balls actually used. We got all the balls we could that were used in the games, and then the rest of those people, the rest after the first 10, will get balls which are autographed by the New York Giants and the Boston Braves. So send in your check, Jimmy Fund, care of the Boston Braves, Braves Field in Boston, and you'll get your baseball. Whitey Lockman leads off. Wonder what's going on in Leo's head. Last half of the fifth inning, drama everywhere. String is run out in the National League. Newcomb rocks the big right-hander, brings it down, lays in a strike off the letters. Strike one. Snyder and Hodges seem to have been coming out of their slumps yesterday. Robinson says the Duke hadn't been swinging right and was yesterday for the first time. Pitch, giving ground on it, is Whitey Lockman. Ball one, 1-1. Giants trying to get a runner on here. Get something started if they can. Lockman, like Mellott, was a Polo Grounds figure before he was 20. Everybody thought he was through after a multiple ankle fracture at 47. Back he came to the headlines. Takes strike call. Outside corner, whistling curve. Carroll Whitey Lockman from Charlotte, North Carolina, the Warhawk. Facing Big Don Newcomb, the giant right-hander of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Tommy Holmes' family being threatened. He lives in the Bay Ridge section of Brooklyn. Brooklyn fans threatening him for having knocked the Dodgers almost out of the pennant race last year. Lockman hits a whistling ground ball. That's a nasty hot reach. Stop. Rolls on. Fools you now. Well, let's see. Wee Reed is playing in the last couple of days. A fine defensive ball as you'll ever see a shortstop play. There was a wicked one-hopper hit to him. Sliced viciously off the bat of left-hand hitting Whitey Lockman. veering to the left side at a mile-a-minute clip. It took a nasty kick, Englished up high, almost over Reese's head, but with a sudden, almost automatic motion, Reese jerked his glove hand up, seemed to have a perception that the ball was going to do that, pulled it down and threw him out. Franco warms in the Dodger bullpen, Newcomb throws, Thompson swing, gets a grounder inside third base, fast territory. Here's Bobby around first, whistling for second base, shoots one to second, he dives, headlong belly buster, straight for a double. Bobby Thompson, who was no doubt being blamed for a Babe Herman skull in the second inning by many fans when it may or may not have been the fault of the New York Giants coaches, redeemed himself to glory in the hearts of the New York Giants fans with a sizzling one-foot fair third baseline double out along the left field line inside Bill Cox, who, as good a glove man as he is, couldn't get that one with a dive at it. Thompson streaked in the second and hit a belly whopper slide in front of Jackie Robinson's tag, which was put on his head as he came in. Not in time. Thompson had his arms spread out, and he went off into second base just like you'd go off a diving board belly busting in. He's in there. Scoring position at second. The batter is Willie Mays. One out. The Dodgers lead by a score of 1-0 in the sudden death finale. Curtain call in the National League. John Newcomb looks down, checking Bobby at second base. The pitch to Willie is high inside for ball one. Now both Branca and Erskine are up heating up in the Dodger bullpen. The Giant hurlers have sat down. Medically appears in complete control now. Newcomb's pitch to the right-hander. Willie cuts and fouls up a burning fast pitch. He had Willie swinging light on that one. Such was the velocity with which Newcomb threw that one in. That had smoke all over it. Yesterday, Charlie Dressen and the Dodgers brought to mind a great incident. A Dodger pitching staff exhausted and riddled, their most valuable player, Campanella, out of the lineup, just one defeat away. Pitching worn down to a nub. Hitters and fielders weary beyond their years. And he brought to mind a great adage. Newcomb throws, where Mays cuts and fouls it off at his feet. Roy Campanella was crippled, the whole club was decimated. So Charlie Dressen reminded of that historic statement of Marshal Foch, the commander of the Allied forces in the First World War. You remember then, when things were at their worst, the marshal put down in his order, he said, "My center is giving away, my right is pushed back, my left is wavering. The situation is excellent, I shall attack." So he did, and under the same baseball circumstances, so has Dressen yesterday and today. Newcomb in tough shape, with Thompson down at second, one out. Reese and Robinson bluffing him back to the bag. Now out trots Dressen to talk to Don Newcomb about how he's going to pitch to Wes Westrum, the batter coming up. Maybe perhaps to tell him that they want to walk Westrum and get to Magley. The strategy on this one will be forthcoming immediately. Newcomb, who pitched 5 2/3 innings Sunday, being relieved in the 13th with two on and two out, had brilliant fielding. They had but one hit off of him, but he walked six. He was out there to battle Robin Roberts and save the Brooklyn Dodger pennant. He, like Rowe, has been complaining of a sore arm. Rowe, you know, who, if the Dodgers win this one, may or may not start the first game of the World Series tomorrow, didn't survive the second inning with 2 days left. They're going to walk Westrum. That was what Dressen was going out to tell Newcomb. They're walking Westrum in order to get to Magley, knowing that the Giants cannot afford to relieve Smiling Sal, the Niagara Falls Nugget. Sal Magley with 23-6 being walked will be the next batter as Magley hitting 155 will come up the moment Westrum has walked. Here's a Newcomb turns around, making Bobby Thompson hustle back into second base after the 3-0 pitch out. Magley had a base hit up in Boston on Saturday. It was a very valuable blow on his own behalf. And now they're telling Leo DeRocha to get back in the coaching box to third base. He's out of it. He's still standing on the eighth, though, and now Leo DeRocha, after the ball four is pitched, is coming down the line in order to talk to Sal Magley. Westrum walked. Giants have the tying run at second base, the go-ahead run on first base with Magley, the barber, hitting. Sal has lathered the Brooks 5 out of 6 times this season. 5 out of 6. Carl Erskine, who's warming in the bullpen, went the route for Brooklyn on Friday night. This is Newcomb's third call in 5 days, his fourth call in 8 days. He is 5-2 against the New York Giants this season, 0-1 to Sal Magley. Magley is 5-1 against the Brooklyn Dodgers. They've beaten him but once. Giants playing on the same field for more than 60 years. Magley the batter. Newcomb pitches. Sal swings at the dribbling grounder down to Reese, who eats it out, throws to first. He got him in the books. They're out of the jam. They beat the Raps. 6-3. Magley had a slow, hopping grounder, a skipper of two hops down to Reese, who trapped the ball on the half hop, came up, sizzled it to Hodges for the out. No runs, one hit, no errors, two men left on base. And now, moving into the sixth inning here at the Polo Grounds in New York, as time grows short for the desperately reaching Giants, the score is the Brooklyn Dodgers 1, the New York Giants 0. Well, if you could write the script for this one, how would you write it? If you were a Hollywood writer and say, Dory Sherry, the director of production of Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer, came to you and said, write me a script for a great baseball picture. I want it to be the most thrilling baseball picture that you can imagine. What would you write? Why bother? Why not just copy the 1951 National League race? Wouldn't that be better than the most imaginative scenario writer could possibly drum up? I'm sure it would. This is the end of plot. Well, out goes Magley for the Giants, trying to turn back the Dodgers another time. The name Giants came from the 1883 Giant team. They were very big men there in the twilight gaslight era. The first Giant manager, Jim Mutry, roared out at the big fellas one day, come on, you Giants. From that time on, they were Giants. Reese Stratting takes strike call on the outside corner. Wheaties scoreboard will follow the game. That fellow Jim Mutry won the first two Giant pennants. Bill Terry won 3 and John McGraw 15. Magley arches his back. Rolls strike 2 call over the outside corner. Sal, but for that first inning, lapse in control. And it may have been a fatal error. Has been superb. Masterful. Perfect. My regards to my good friend Robert Lee out in Los Angeles. Magley throws. Pee Wee Reese takes a shade outside. 1-2. First waste pitch from Magley. I bet most of you didn't know that the spawning grounds of these Brooklyn Dodgers, the borough of Brooklyn, is as big as Chicago. 88 8/10 square miles. 2,800,000 people. Magley works down to the right-hander and Reese watches. Strike 3. It's on the outside corner. Brilliant curveball, broken off, swept across the outside corner as Pee Wee just stood there with an open mouthed face. Over here from beautiful scenic Brooklyn, 25,000 madly roaring rooters. That name of Brooklyn came from Breukelen, spelled B-R-E-U-C-K-E-L-E-N. It's from Netherlands Village, and it means broken land. The Dodgers today are in one piece, though, still, miraculously. There's a swing and a drive, left field way, hustling over for it is Irvin, but this will be in for a Dodger base hit. Snyder rounds first base, and will come back in as Irvin makes his play back to second. It's a Dodger base hit. They've one on with one away, and Jackie Robinson is again the batter. So here is the Dodger hatchet man, Jackie Robinson, and some of the Giant fans booing. Booing Robinson is as dangerous as hunting a gas leak with a match. He responds to it. Something in his chemistry that won't take it. The outfield off to the left side. Infield in double play depth. Sal Magley on the hill. Breezes it outside for ball one. One out, one on. The one up is Jackie Robinson. Hitting right now. Smiling Sal Magley, the batter, has yielded 3 hits this ball game. Trails it 1-0 with the pennant squarely on the line. Magley into the windup now. Comes down with a pitch, taken outside. Speaking of the birds being on the field, Red Smith made a great remark in his column today when he said there were birds on the field here yesterday. They always left behind pitcher Levine because they knew the Giants were at bat and they were safe.
Barnes shut him out 10-0 yesterday in a brilliant rookie exhibition. One-on-one out, the batter is Robinson. Two balls on him. He's got to lay it in. Throws high outside. Pitch out. The run on his way to second. The throw. There he is. Out the field. Snyder streaks for second on a pitch out. The Giants have to steal dope. Precious that it was going to take place. And Westrum, who made two great takes to second base day before yesterday in the opening game of the series to snuff out prospective Dodger runners with it lastly in their hearts, makes the third one here today. And on Jackie Robinson, 2-4, it's the out. Robbie swings, hits a liner up along the left field line, which goes way foul. It was hit hard enough and far enough for a home run, but was not in there. The big pitch here yesterday was a low sweeping curve on which Bobby Thompson struck out in the third with the bases full. After that, you knew that Levine was going to ride that lead home. It was a bad pitch, by the way. You'll remember it. Bases full, Thompson up, 3-2 pitch. If Thompson had let it go by, it would have been a base on balls and a run walked in. Even Levine admitted that. The pitch taken inside, and Jackie Robinson's on first with two away. Now they've got to watch him very closely because Robinson is one of baseball's most accomplished stealers. With Andy Papko up here, he'd like to go to second in scoring position. Photographers were busy taking picture of the Robinsons, Jackie and Sugar Ray, before the ball game to show you the feeling that is existent in this National League clutch playoff. Just before the ball game, they were ministering to Eddie Stanky on a rubbing table in the Giants' dressing room. He was spiked by Jethro in Boston in the weekend series. Spiked himself going down to first base yesterday. He's got his feet tangled up. He had two nasty gashes on his shin bone. I asked Eddie, I said, Eddie, you going to be able to play today? He just looked down at his leg and he said, is it broken? The outfield, deep off to the left, fanned away. Jackie Robinson at first base, leading, dancing down the line, trying to nettle Magley. Sal checks his runner. Cold-blooded, unemotional Sal. Papko backs out of the batter's box. Magley keeping a close watch on Jackie Robinson, trying to keep the short holder on him, realizing that Robinson will do anything to get down to second base, and is an accomplished stealer. Magley checks Robinson now, throws down to the batter. Papko swings, pumps a fly up along the left field line, foul. It's going toward the upper deck and will go up on top, out of play. People had about formed the impression up to yesterday that the Giants could not lose. When they did lose yesterday, it was a beaut. 10-0. They were long overdue, though. Some of the Giants supporters around this morning very worried for fear the Giants' luck had at long last run out. 1-0 in favor of the Brooklyn Dodgers on a first inning single to left by Jack Robinson, scoring Reese, who had walked in front from second base. Magley checks Robinson at first base. Sal looking over there. Jackie jockeying back and forth. Magley, finally, unnerved, throws to first base. Not in time. There was a cat and mouse game between Jackie Robinson jiggling back and forth up and down, jumping in that peculiar ballet dance motion of his to rattle a pitcher. Finally, Magley, unable to bear the pressure, through to first base, delivers to the batter again. Swung on and missed by Papko for strike two. He went out for an outside pitch that time, down low. At the plate, Andy Papko, his confederate, Jackie Robinson on first base. Button bright lights shining above. Cool, murky afternoon overhead, but lightening up as the afternoon wears on. People shedding their coats. A lot of shirt sleeve fans sitting below us in the stands. Cram packed. Robinson, the Dodger hatchet man at first. Papko swings, skies one up into the air. Coming down the line is Whitey Lockman. He waits, waits. He's got it. The side is retired for Brooklyn in the sixth inning as Sal Magley once again survives the onslaught and gets past him with no run, one hit. The Dodgers third at this sixth inning ball game, no errors and one left on. At the end of 5 1/2 innings here at the Polo Grounds in New York, the Brooklyn Dodgers won, the New York Giants nothing. Brooklyn, one run, three hits, no errors, four men left on base. The New York Giants, no runs, three hits, no errors, and three men left on base. Here's Eddie Stanky to lead off with Alvin Dock to follow and Don Mueller down in the hole as the last half of the sixth inning will get underway. There are reports that Hornsby and O'Doul have been approached for Charlie Dresden's job, but
Everybody close to the Dodger management deny that.
That's just one of the many rumors that goes around. Light's still shining. Tons of hot dogs, coffee, and peanuts being consumed. Hank Greenberg, Joe Cronin, Bucky Walters, Stan Lingle Mungo, Luke Sewell, Billy Sullivan, Miss Dan Toppy, Miss John McGraw, Dolly Stock, all here. Right-hand hitter Eddie Stanky, the brat leading off for the New York Giants. Last of the sixth, and Eddie would like to draw a base on balls here, which is his major weapon attack, and starts the ball rolling. A pot balling, Don Newcomb throws, and Stanky swings up, dying quail down the left field line. Feeding in for a tackle, run, he's got it. Stanky in a little short blooper, one of those handle hits, leaping lean liner in the hole, or over the hole, between Cox and Reese in the short left field. Andy Papko racing in, reached up, hauled it in for the out, and Stanky is away in the last half of the sixth inning. In case you're looking down the line, Newcomb has 11 outs to go. Alvin Dark is the batter, former great Louisiana State University athlete, and this network, as I've told you, is making arrangements with one of the best sportscasters in the nation, Lindsey Nelson, to bring you play-by-play the LSU Rice game this Saturday night. Both teams are undefeated. Frank and Erskine warming up again. Dark reaches, takes strike call. Nothing in one. Alvin Dark batting from Lake Charles, Louisiana, number 19. Say, how would you write a lead on this game? How would you write a lead? What would you say to encompass the drama of this game in one paragraph? The pitch outside. I remember the greatest lead I ever read was one written by Damon Runyon. He sat out one day. A little fella had confessed on the stand inadvertently, and he sat down and wrote that a little man sat on a little chair in a little courthouse today and quietly talked himself to death. There's a foul ball hit up into the stands by Alvin Dark to the left side. Well out of play. Dark banging one down the left field line, which twisted foul. Somebody nearly hit a fan along first base of the Coke bottle in the upper stand a moment ago. He could have got 10 points for that. Newcomb down, too high on Dark for a 2-2 count with one away. The Giants desperate, struggling for breath in the National League. 1-0 behind here. Brooklyn 1, the New York Giants nothing. Last half of the sixth inning. Now Don Newcomb into the windup. The giant right-hander cuts it down, planks it in. Dark swing, this one off the hole.
Oh, I thought the clock broke the first. Three. So the great Billy Cox, playing great ball, makes the second saving slam of the afternoon. He got Stanky in the third inning on a double play stop inside the third baseline. Here he does it again to Alvin Dark to make a second out in the sixth inning. And now, with two away, Don Mueller is going to be the batter. He swings, hits one down the first baseline, foul, and it bounces toward the stands and out of play. The Dodgers written off three times the National League, not yet dead. None out, Mueller batting. 1-0 in favor of the Brooklyn Dodgers. Magley throwing the game this life, but so is Newcomb. Tennant riding with every pitch in both these two teams.
Mueller will be swinging for that fence, I imagine, with two away. The strategy here would be to swing for a long ball. Greatest of all the National League pennant races has now been carried just as far as it can go. Each time, each team has saved its best bib and chucker for this last game. The sun trying to come out with the lights on. The pitch inside. 2-1. Two balls, one strike. Magley was 4-0 against the Brooks last year, 5-0 this year. Nuke is 4-3 against the Giants last year, 5-2 in this year. He's been beaten two out of his last three times out against the New York Giants, but today he is superb. Levine yesterday, no hit at the Giants the last five innings, so you can look and say that in the last 10 innings, the Giants have only had three hits off Brooklyn pitching. Newcomb works, delivering. Mueller swings, lets a pop up to the right side. Coming over for it is first baseman Hodges. Under it, waiting. He's got it for the out. And will Don Newcomb be able to ride that first inning Robinson single home to victory in the National League? That becomes the burning question of the moment. More flaming as the minutes wear on. No runs, no hits, no errors. Nobody left on base. We'll go into the seventh. The seventh. Lucky for one of the two teams, perhaps, at the Polo Grounds with the score Brooklyn 1, the New York Giants nothing. Well, Dresden just asked Newcomb how he felt And we can see Don's head not in the affirmative. Magley goes out to the hill with a 4-0 record against the Brooks last year, 5-1 this year, trailing 1-0 on a first inning base on balls to Reese, one following the Snyder, and Jackie Robinson's electrifying single in the hole. Seventh inning of play, 40 home runs for the fellow up here. It's Gil Hodges, 270 hitter, outfield very deep, very much to the left. Magley twists the curveball too wide, one ball and no strikes. Down catching him, Wes Westrum, catching this afternoon for Brooks. Al Walker, whose performance for Campanella needs no apology. Ring has run out. Magley against Newcomb. Foul works. Hodges swings, and it's Nick Foul back in the screen. Boy, the wondrous terms of endearment that must be going on between these two teams down there on the field with $5,000 riding on the line for each player. We pause 5 seconds. This is the Liberty Broadcasting System. Back it is to the Polo Grounds, New York, with Liberty's game of the day, the final game of the day this year, because it can't go any further. They'll play all night to get this one over. Sal Magley kicks, throws, Hodges swings, lets the tall towering pop up, a weak soft drink fly back at home. Weston tightroping under it, boxes it in. One up and one down as Hodges pops to the catcher, and it is Billy Cox coming up now to see if he can write another page in his exploit book for this afternoon. He has made two fine fielding plays for the Brooklyn Dodgers, and along with Pee Wee Reese has been the big fielding gun. Let's listen to the applause for him. Here's Cox, who with Robinson has been the Dodger hatchet man today. He takes one inside. Well, Robinson single. Bobby Thompson race into second base with the base already occupied. The base on balls to Reese. The great stops by Cox and Reese. They are the highlights today. Billy takes ball two outside. Two balls, no strikes. 2-0. String running out. Sands of time running down the National League race. Billy Cox takes inside. 3 balls, no strikes, one out. Cox the hitter, a good glove man. Bill Cox, number three. Right-hand hitter. Rowe, if he should go in the World Series tomorrow, if the Dodgers should win, which is a long presumption, has still a sore arm. Here's a strike over there for a 3-1 count. He's got sore in Philly. He needs much more rest than he's been getting. This is one of those grimy New York afternoons. Dirty wash, water, gray clouds above. Clearing up a little. Magley's 3-1 ball. Down the heart for a called strike. Right down the pipe. Sal Magley, the unsmiling, unflinching giant hero of 23 victories on the mound for the Polo Grounders this afternoon. Great will be the rejoicing in Flatbush if Newcomb can ride it through, but Magley is down and in with a 3-2 pitch hit down at the shortstop. Over his dark in perfect position, throws weakly to first in time for the out. That was almost a weak throw, but Dark looping it was right on the money with it. Two up and two down. The batter will be left-hand hitting Rube Walker, who unleashed a monumental over-the-right field upper deck home run here yesterday to match the exploit of Shoeless Joe Jackson low those many years ago. The barber still shaving with two away in the seventh inning, trailing 1-0. Black waters of the Harlem River back of the center field fence as Magley comes down through the murk with a ball one wide. One ball, no strikes. Well, nothing has short-circuited this electric tension here today. Down at second, the cameo-sized second baseman, Stanky, calling to Magley, who throws. Ball two, a strike one over the outside corner. That caught it. One Dodger fan walked up to the bleacher line about 10 this morning, almost hidden by a 5-foot-high funeral piece of dahlias and gladiolas. It was draped in a black ribbon. Lettered in gold was the sentiment, sympathy to the Giants. Magley throws high and wide. Ball two, 2-1. 2 balls, one strike. Quicksand finale. One wrong step and down you go for keeps. New York and Brooklyn tied 97 wins and 59 losses apiece. Lights on. Magley looking down. Magic number for either team now one. The batter with two away. Left-hander Rube Walker who swings. Hits a bounding foul down past the first base coach Jake Pittler up against the stands and out of play. Up beyond out of play. So the New York Giants here. Battling, embattled, beleaguered, 1-0 behind. The first half of the seventh inning, the Giants will be up in the last half of the seventh inning. a tough ball game for both these pitchers. It'll be a heartbreaker for anybody who loses this one. Dodgers at the moment look happy as a pair of fleas in the dog pound. 2-2-2. Two balls, two strikes, two out. Rube Walker, the batter. Right-handed pitch. Walker cuts it. One in the hole. And Johnny Hodges goes racing over for it, but can't reach it. And round first, as fast as a prairie schooner pulled by a gopher, goes Rube Walker. Don Newcomb is the batter now. Newcomb, the Dodgers' money winner, top swinger, huge man, hard worker, and a strikeout pitcher is up from Madison, New Jersey. Good hitting pitcher, often works in the bullpen between games, between starts. All-star star of 49 and 50, 6 feet 4, 220 pounds, left-hand hitter Don. Catcher Westland down in catching position now. The outfield is short. In the polo grounds, every batter is a home run threat with the short fences. Mangley works it down. Newcomb hits a sharp sparkler down any center. Donald gets up, throws weakly in time to first base. That's all he has to do because Newcomb has given it up, rushing down the line. And they're booing Don as he walks back to the pitching mound right now because he didn't run that one out. Sankey had bobbled, but even had Don been at full tilt, he could not possibly have beat it to first base. 4-3. That's the out. Sankey to Larkin. No runs, one Brooklyn Bingle, Lance to right by Rube Walker, no errors, and Rube left spinning his wheels at first. Now, as we go down, 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 toward the final moment, the tip, the limit, the last jagged edge of the National League race. The score is one for the Brooklyn Dodgers, nothing for the New York Giants. Here's the right-hander, Newcomb facing cleanup hitter Marty Irvin. Giant fans applauding for a rally, clapping. Hopefully, Marty Irvin crashes. Newcomb feeds, peeled off for a strike on the hip. Marty Irvin, originally an outfielder, but played a lot of first base for the Giants. Now back in left, lots of power, 6'1", 195 pounds. Leading runs batted in are the New York Giants, for that matter, in the National League also. A double-dive deep dish doozer in the polo grass. Irvin swings that line along the left line. Pass up, comes over. It's off the wall. Left ball plays it. Irvin around first. Streaking the second. It's going to be close to have the throw. Here's a wide throw. And Jackie Robinson plays a diving stop the second to keep it from going to three bases.
For a ball one, 1-0. The official paid attendance is only 34,320 held out for the weather, but there must be at least 15,000 addition to that are here on Andy Oakley. Carol Whitey Lockman, blind, tall, rangy outfielder, standing deep in the box, feet close together. Newcomb checks Irvin, he throws, and it is punted. Off home plate, it's going to be called down. Which was still right in front of home plate. I thought for a moment it might be foul, and he hit the plate with one. Luckman, safe at first fielder's choice. Irvin is down to third. Bobby Thompson is the hitter. Erskine and Frank are tuning up the Dodger bullpen. Nobody unlimbering in the Giants bullpen. This crowd, awfully excited, huh? Here's Bobby Thompson. They throw to third base for Matty Irvin, but he's standing on the back. There was an attempted, I looked down there, saw Cox returning to Newcomb. They were trying the hidden ball trick, but Irvin was on the bag. It didn't work. Newcomb throws, top wings, and misses. Irvin down at third. Whitey Lockman up at first. Shut out, and up is Bobby Thompson. Just dangerous as a great Dane behind the meat counter. Facing big Don Newcomb, the right-hander of the Brooklyn Dodgers, as drama and tension reign supreme in the Polo Grounds, New York. Bobby Thompson, the batter, the Royal Scot. A good number of right-hand hitters doubled in an earlier inning, and then singled two hits. Swing fouls it off at his feet. Two strikes. The Flying Scotsman, star outfielder. Outfield plays him deep over to the left. Broke in at 46 at third base after 2 years in the minors. From Staten Island, New York, born in Glasgow, Bobby Thompson. Two on at third, Irvin, with the National League's tying run. We won't speak of it as the Giants' tying run. It's just the National League's tying run. This is a game between the first and the first-place teams of the National League. Giants and the Dodgers. Dodgers and the Giants, depending on how you look at it. Lockman at first. Newcomb made a throw at third. A desperate gambling shot trying to cut down a lead runner. They'd have to tag him down there. Didn't. Irvin was in safely on the try off of Lockman, but Lockman's at first on the field of choice. Runners first and third. Newcomb checks and throws to Thompson. Bobby swings. Hits the dribbler. High bounding Baltimore chop. Down the third baseline past the Rocha foul. Fan reaches out and gets himself a souvenir of this tremendous playoff game in the National League. Boy, over on the Gowanus, the lilies must be drooping. Bodies must be floating down the canal like water. And a warm sun tries to peek out overhead with the light still shining. Excitement at its maximum. Bobby Thompson backs out of the batter's box. Newcomb is a good pitcher under fire. Don't underestimate him. You remember down in Philadelphia when he had the bases full. A tough man at bat. And a count. 3-1 on the hitter and still got out of it. Newcomb kicks, throws, Thompson swings, and lets the pop up to the left out of play. Coming up on top of our Liberty Broadcasting System booth, foul. It's Irvin at third with a tying run. Whitey Lockman's at first. The infield is pulled in to play for the play at the plate. They want to cut off that winning run or the tying run. Irvin at third base. The outfield is very deep to the left. Crowd fraught with suspense. Black shadow of calamity hanging over the Brooklyn Dodgers. The Brooklyn high tide of battle. 13 and a half games long since gone. Down Dormy 1 in the National League. The magic number 1 for either team. All right. Black and the blue now, Bob. Lightning up overhead. Newcomb offers.
Up swings that long drive. He's out of left field. That'll bring home the run. Back goes Snyder. He's under it, waiting. Irvin is tagged up. Here he comes into the plate. And it's a 1-1 tie in New York. Fly deep out in left field, sending Irvin home from third. Bonnie Lockman, who had a sacrifice in the fielder's choice, butting in front of home plate to advance Irvin, where Black is scoring, is now Harbert still on first base, and Willie Mays is the batter. Mays, dramatic story being told here. A story that will linger 20 years, 50 years from now in baseball history. Mays takes 5-4-1. One man out, one man on, one run in. The one up is Willie Mays. It's the seventh inning to play here at the Polo Grounds in New York in a death struggle, a battle to the end between the Dodgers and the Giants. Newcomb looks over toward Lockman. He throws down. Mays throws it. Down the reef. The shovel to run. It's one. It's time for two. It's another save. The brilliant airtight Dodger infield again contains the New York Giants. As Reese comes up with another saver, and the Dodgers reel off
their second double play this afternoon. They have had 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 trying stops. 3 by Reese, 2 by Billy Cox. And now at the end of 7 innings, the New York Giants totals the last half of the 7th. Reese, 1 run, 1 base hit, a double by Monty Irvin. Leading life in the Giants comeback here since August the 12th. No errors, nobody left on base. And at the end of 7 innings here in the Polo Grounds, New York, in a misty, murky Harlem River afternoon, the score is Brooklyn 1, the New York Giants 1. First half of the 8th inning, first one-third of the garnet, Dodger order, first pitch by Magley. Long on hit right back swing, and he lines out. Carl Brillo on a line drive, bolting blast back to Magley's leather. Magley stopped it on the line. He was about chest high, boom to him, and that would have undressed Sal unless he caught it in the leather. Pee Wee Reese, longtime Dodger favorite, will be up now. Defense will play him deep to the left. He's a steady hitter, an excellent fielder. The club's only 10-year man. Now Reese comes up. Feet spread, square fast, digs in. Acknowledged Dodger leader and field captain. The Dodgers won, the Giants won. Giants rally to tie it for Magley. The Barber's pitch hit down and over. Eddie Sankey bouncing in right field for base hit. Pee Wee Reese comes up with a single. Banks out there and right. A close line drive as Reese hung out the wash over Eddie Sankey's sleeping fingers. Very fast, Duke Snider comes on now. Has tremendous power, a left-hand hitter against the right-hand pitcher. And Magley will have to be very careful with the dangerous Snider. With a short right field fence, only 297 feet down the line, 257 feet down the line. Jansen warming in the Giants bullpen, one on, one out. National League pennant riding down to the last 2 innings. The pitch swung on and missed. First half of the 8th inning, Duke Snider waving at him. On deck, Jackie Robinson. Andy Papko down in the hole. Snider up at the bat right now, one on, one out. The outfield is straight away. Eddie Sankey walks back to defensive position as Bobby Thompson comes into council with Magley. So we're going to have a little forum in session out on the mound. Westrom out to talk to Magley. Here comes Alvin Dark, the Giants team captain in also. Umpires, in case you didn't get them, who are watching placidly. Getz to third, Stewart at second, Jock O'Connell to first, and Lou Jorda back of home. Boy, this crowd is really something. They will all be fit for straight jackets when this one is over. Dodgers and the Giants. Doing battle for the honor. A debt the 7th clubs must pay in the National League. Doing battle down to the last ditch, to the last rampart. 1-1 going into the 8th inning of the end of the end of the end. 1 game, 2 games, 3 games after the end of the regular season. Just 1 day before the World Series, and it's still not decided, and it looks like that it might go on and on. Westrom goes back into the New York Giant dugout, and we may have a new New York Giant catcher coming on. Nope, it's going to be Westrom. He was just adjusting his paraphernalia. Rattling pressure. One of these two teams is at death's door in the National League in the 8th inning, and we still don't know who it is. Still don't know. Would you care to hazard a guess? I wouldn't. I wouldn't have the vaguest idea. As far as I'm concerned, this one is completely in the laps of the gods. If ever we have seen a National League pennant race which fits two completely evenly matched teams, this one is it. The Giants, in the closing stage of the campaign, were unquestionably the hottest team in the race. The Dodgers in the first part were head and shoulders above the field. Now in these 3 games, they're equal. Dead, even, Steven, equal. Bagley to Snider, who swings, beats a whistling foul down past Whitman. A bouncer. Jake got out of the way, worried by that one. Now, Pee Wee Reese starts back to the bag. Strokes his chin. Westrom, walking part of the way back out the pitcher's mound, walks back now. Turns around, looks the batter. Guy's ready to crouch. Magley scuffing up the ball, the outfield straight away. The pressure is terrific. The Brooklyn Dodgers are stricken 2 days ago. Back now, trying to stroke the Giants. First half of the 8th inning, 1-1 tie. The pitch by Magley, offered down. Well, hit it to home. Second base, you reach, you can't get it. Here's Reese getting to third. He was thrown to third. He's cut inside. He's in that side. He's back to runners on first and third. One out. up here now. Reese at third, Snyder at first, Jack Robinson the hitter, and Steve Pasco on deck. And now out comes Leo DeRocher to talk to the Barber, who right now is being given a rather close game himself by the Brooklyn Dodgers. That was a hard hit shin smacker flanked by Duke Snyder, past Snakey. Jackie Robinson, the good hitting second baseman of the Brooklyn Dodgers with a .337 batting average and one hit and two times at bat today. Three hits yesterday, one the day before. A game-winning home run the day before that on Sunday. He's up to now, waiting outside the batter's box in the blue uniform of what the Brooklyn Riders are calling the stalwart Ryan of Blue. Val Magley on the hill. And we'll tell you about it pitch by pitch now. Robinson that journeys in the National League trying to strike the fatal blow. Magley in deep trouble. The great Barber pitching the mask to Robinson is high and wide with his first one. One ball, no strikes. One and nothing. The greatest day of them all in National League history. The greatest game of them all. Robinson batting.
It gets away from Weston. Reese racing in to score. Here is Snyder around second, heading for third. The throw there is not in time. He's at third. The Dodgers lead 2-1. Wild pitch.
First to third. Robinson swings at this one. Foul. Back and out of play. Bagley, imperturbable right-hander, having been here this afternoon just a couple of times nervous, apparently, throws the loss back to the ground in disgust. Bagley was pitching all kind of weather in all kinds of situations. A logical choice for the big one here today.
The last day of the regular season, the battle of Coogan's Bluff with the Giants being sorely pressed. 2-1, the Dodgers lead them. At first, Robinson. On third, Snyder. Andy Pasco on deck. So, a moment ago, the Giants' hopes were shining so brightly. Now are so bleak, so dreary. Strike called on Pasco. Nothing in one. One out. Hodges on deck. Tough part of the Dodger order up here in the eighth inning. The Giants, in the last half of the eighth, will have Westrum, Magley, or a pinch hitter for him. Probably the pinch hitter. Then Eddie Stanky. Then the tough part of their list from the last half of the ninth inning. Val Magley kicks and throws, swung on, beaten down the third base line. Pounded by Magley, comes to just away from him in foul territory. Goes in there, a rush shot to the plate. Dodgers lead 3-1. Well, Bobby Thompson, the Giant outfielder turned infielder, bottles a hard hit, tough to handle, grounder down the third baseline. It goes as narrow, half goes on. Robinson speeds to second, logically 3-1. A Snyder comes off. The pitch got on and missed wickedly by Snyder, who was churning from the heels. 3-1 in favor of the Dodgers. First half of the eighth inning. The Giants are 6 outs left. The National League great. Pablo has joined Jansen with the Giant bullpen. Unquestionably now, there will be a pinch hitter for Magley in the last half of the eighth inning. The desperate fighting. The Giants trying to rally their shattered remnants. We're last down to the last half of the eighth and ninth. One strike to count on Hodges, who swings just to pop up down the third baseline. They're waiting for it to stop. Robinson is having to hustle back towards second base. He'll make it, though, and Thompson grabs the ball for the out. Two away. Runner still at first base and second base. Robinson on second, Pasco on first. We pause 10 seconds for station identification to remind you that you are listening to America's newest network, the second largest network in the world on its first birthday, the 431 station Liberty Broadcasting System. Well, the best
play plans of five and men gang after the clay. And even with the charge of Sal Magley, the Dodgers have been able to lead 3-1 here in the last half of the eighth. Sal delivers back to it.
It went down and through the top of the left field. Robinson, the right third on his way in with a fourth Dodger run. Holding a second pass ball, Dodgers lead 4-1.
Here comes Newcomb. Down with it.
back between the foot for a fly, pop up to the left side. Dashing over for his reason along the line. Reaches up and falls it into the opposite side of the side. The Giants are on his close drive in the eighth inning. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on. At the end of the game, don't turn your radio set off if you hear loud, strange noises. It'll be the fans calling in. At the end of eight innings here, at the Polo Grounds in New York, the Dodgers 4, the Giants 1. Now Sal Magley throwing a few scattered boos as he goes up the dressing room steps. He is being relieved here now by Larry Jensen, who the Giants hope would start the first game of the World Series against the New York Yankees tomorrow across the Harlem River at Yankee Stadium, which now for the Giants looms as misty and far away across that Harlem River from where we are sitting as the Taj Mahal. Jansen, considered by many as the best pitcher in the big time today, sterling right-hander. He can knock a fly off a bat at 60 feet. Walks only an average of one man every four innings, has great control, a good hop on his batsman, a good curve, a good slider. So here, quiet, unassuming family man, Larry Jensen from Forest Grove, Oregon, to pitch the top half of the ninth inning against the Brooklyn Dodgers with Raphael Noble. Noble fell as though it was Lance Noble doing the catching for the Giants. A new battery. Jensen, Noble. John Milkins getting a fine hand to the crowd. Let's do him still. Newcomb swinging for the Dodgers. First half of the ninth inning, Giants trail 4-1. Jansen pitches and Larry hits the inside corner for a strike. Boy, I'll be 7 sardines and a size 6 can if this isn't happening. Brooklyn 4, the New York Giants 1. First half of the ninth inning. Jansen offers, Newcomb hits one weakly to the right. Sankey comes in fast for it. Collins it, gobbles, throws to first. Guns it in there in time for the out. Wending our way tortuously toward that last half of the ninth inning, which will be the beginning. 4-3 for the out. Carl Farrillo, Brooklyn Dodger batter. Roll, let off in the eighth inning. Drove a screamer right back into the hands of Magley at that time, and it looked like the eighth inning was to be a routine frame, but then the Dodgers broke open like a ripe watermelon. Jansen trying to preserve the vestige of a Giant chance. Throws. Rillo hits one weakly to the left side. A ground skinner picked up by Dark, who angles the throw on the right field side at first to the reaching Whitey Lachman, who holds it back for the out. Now two up and two down. It will be left to Pee Wee Reed in the regular National League season now to keep the Dodgers alive in the ninth inning. This may be the last Dodger batter up in the regular National League season. A great ball game that they'll be talking about down through National League history for many, many years to come, down through baseball history. Jansen throws it down, raises it a long, long drive out in center, but Willie Mays is loping back, will be able to get out, returns around, swallows it to the out to retire the side. It'll be the last half of the ninth inning, and a dramatic last half it should be. No runs, no hits, no errors, nobody left on base. And now the Giants, strangling, struggling for breath. Three outs away from extinction in the National League race will come up in the last half of the ninth inning with a score of Brooklyn 4, the New York Giants 1. Came to the New York Giants from the Boston Braves. The Dodger outfield is playing it way over to the left side. Jackie Robinson, hands on hips, steps off the grass down at second base. Pee Wee Reed strides towards third base, shortstop. Hibbley cuts himself the line, deep back, throws Dodgers first. Now he reaches out, swings this one to the right side. Half right side, the plus. Jackie Robinson runs for it. It is in that for base hit for Alvin Dark on the left side of the ninth inning. Dark takes the ground ball wide at first. Dodgers races over. Tried to make a backhand stop on it, like he did on Don Mueller in the sixth inning. Or rather on Hank Thompson in the eighth inning. But this time, it squirted off his glove. English over past Jackie Robinson. By the time Robbie retrieved it, Alvin is at first with a base hit to open the ninth inning. And Don Mueller, the batter. The Dodgers have two pitchers warming up just in case. No sense saving them for next spring. You're offering, swung on, hit right back, and it's off the right field for a big hit. Here is
dark, the last second streaking for third, the throw to third. He's cut his time, cut off by Reese Carter. Chance has a tying ready for play, set out. Now out comes Dresden as the Giants, teetering at the break, refuse to be counted out. And this is baseball and emotion. Out past Hodges in the right field for a last half of the ninth inning opening base hit. The Giants have that very good hitting, home run hitting right-hander, Monty Irvin at the plate.
Branca and Erskine are the two bullpen warmer-uppers for the Brooklyn Dodgers.
The Giants about to perish.
Hanging on for dear life. The pitch. Irvin watches outside for ball one to the right-hander. Two on. Dark at third. Don Mueller at first base. The Giants strike to make a last half of the ninth inning saving rally. Now Mueller at first base, standing close to the bag, leads off. Dark leads down the line with nobody in the guard against him. Leo DeRocha blowing on his hand. Making all sort of signals down there. Newcomb checks his runners. Here's the pitch to the right-hander. Irvin reaches, misses. One ball and one strike. He was cutting for the fence that time. Had he hit that one, that would have been all the way out and over and into Mamie O'Toole's apartment house window over the left field wall. Riley took a 360-degree cut at it. Arms over his head. Newcomb comes kicking in with it again. Irvin reaches out, lets the high pop-up down the first baseline. Hodges over, waiting. Held it in this one-away here in the ninth inning. It's Monty Irvin to the utter black despair of the New York Giants fan. Hops out. But still, the Giants have coming on two very, very potent hitters, Whitey Lockman and Bobby Thompson. Thompson, particularly, has a single and a double today. Whitey Lockman has driven one single and three times at bat. The grieving Giant fans, holding on to the last, will be inconsolable if they're heroes after winning 16 straight. 38 out of their last 45, out of their last 46, I guess it was, cannot win the final two games of the National League season. The batter, Whitey Lockman, the Carolina throwhead. Monty Irvin just popped out. On back, Bobby Thompson, the Royal Scott. Bennett first and third, tying run at the plate. Whitey swinging for a home run, fouls it back into the screen. The Giants are going for that short fence. Left-hand hitter, Newcomb throwing down his fireball, trying to get him out of here in the last half of the ninth inning, and brings the Brooklyn Dodgers their fourth opportunity against the Yankee in the World Series. The New York Yankees are watching here and are being treated to one of baseball's great shows. The greatest thrill that I remember down through my years of broadcasting. Whitey standing back, deep in the batter's box, waiting for the pitch from Newcomb, arms over his head. Big gun, that's up, unravels, throws. Whitey swings that time. Along the left field line. Elvin Dark comes in. Here's the runner on his way to third. Sacco bobbles the ball briefly. Down and into second base with a tying run. Whitey locks the left field roar. Now the Giants have a tying run on second base and first at third. It's Don Mueller as he slid into third. He must have wrenched his ankle or his knee. He has hurt it third. DeRocher looking him over. So is Al Dart. Bobby Thompson, who's been the big siege gun in the Giant arsenal down through this series and then through the past few weeks, a 290 hitter, will be the last half of the ninth inning hitter. And now the crowd, perhaps in a hush. That feeling of electricity and anticipation in the air is in a sort of a hush, a sort of a quiet waiting feeling. And now the stretcher is being brought out to take Don Mueller off the field. He's down at third base. They'll load him onto the stretcher and cart him off now. Either his ankle or his knee, I can't tell which one. Alvin Dark is pointing toward the dugout. It's his ankle. Quick, floppy Harton. Sandy Harrod, Giant war sensation, former pitcher, former outfielder, now saved almost exclusively for sometimes pitch hitting, sometimes pinch running roles, running at third base for Don Mueller. That might be all for Don Newcomb, too. And that is, Newcomb has had it for this afternoon. He'll get a cake and a soap and a towel for the last time in the regular National League season with Ralph Branca. Trudging on, the Dodgers trying to save it here in the last half of the ninth inning. Everyone is absolutely limp in the greatest game of them all. Struck
with four, the Giants, one or two. The Giants have two on at second and third in the last half of the ninth inning. Newcomb has finally been shelled off the mound. His relief will be the Hawk, Ralph Branca. Franklin Ralph, who wears his number 13. And will that be lucky for the Brooklyn Dodgers here in the last half of the night? Newcomb against Bagley, it was. It's now to bring the drama to a close. Franca, the Brooklyn starter, against Larry Jett. Ralph Franca from Mount Vernon, New York, 21 game winner in 1947. A New York University graduate is going on the mound to throw for the Brooklyn and try to turn the Giants back here at the door of disaster in the last half of the ninth inning. Ralph Franca throwing. Ralph's victory record 13 and 11. This is Newcomb's game, still to win. The runner is second. A tying runner is his responsibility. Should he win, it'll be 21 and 9. Bagley's game, obviously, to lose. His record would be 23 and 7, should he lose it. Well, what more can anyone say about this? What could you possibly say to tell you about the drama? It's like the fellow who tried to ride a lead for a great sporting event, and he sat there. He sat after the game was all over his typewriter, and he just couldn't think of anything. He finally turned around to an old-time sports writer there, and he says, "Fella," he says, "I'm trying to think of something." He says, "Maybe I can dramatize it by telling him something about the setting here." He turned around, he looked over there, and he says, "Let's see, is that the sun setting over there, setting in the west?" This old sports writer says, "Son, if that sun ain't setting in the west, you got a green scoop of the century." Boy, I'm telling you, what they're going to say about this one, I don't know. Ronnie Thompson, the batter. The outfield deep and very much to the left. Ralph Frank on the hill in favor of Newcomb. Rube Walker catching the pitch to Bonnie. A quick call off the knee. Quick curve. Franco right in. Franco has that tremendous overarm sinker curve that drops down. And he has a roundhouse hook curve to right-hand batters by way of third. Extremely effective against right-handed. Two pitchers for Dodgers bullpen. Now I think one of them's roll. Here's Bobby waiting. Franco throws. Bobby swings. Oh, right there on the ball.
Absolutely sure.
this crowd right to its keystone. Bobby Thompson drove one just over the wall down the left field line. A three-run home run to bring the Giants back from the pale, to give them a victory, 5-4 in the National League race. It's all over, and tomorrow afternoon, across in the midst of Yankee Stadium, across that Harlem River, and we can see it from here, the New York Giants go into the start of a World Series. A World Series that the Giants have not been in since 1937. This is the most important New York Giants triumph since the days of John McGraw. And now, DeRocher and his New York Giants go down in history, along with the names of New York Giants of other years, Ruth Marquardt, Turkey Mike Donlin, Herzog, Frisch, Hott, Young, Christy Matthews, Big Six, on and on and on. McGraw won 10 pennants here. He never won one as dramatic as the one Leo DeRocher has just won. And that fighting spirit of Bobby Thompson, the Royal Scot, if you forgive the expression, came through in the last half of the ninth inning with the most dramatic home run of them all. And what more can you say? This crowd down here has just seen the greatest baseball game, I would dare say, that's ever been played in our national pastime.